Joining us on the line now to chat about the NFL is Jeff Schwartz, former NFL O-lineman, also with SB Nation and Sirius XM. Jeff, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing today?
We are good, and we're excited for this Thursday nighter. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's been one of the top storylines all season long with what he has done this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. We see last week the no-look pass. I know it's something that he has done before in his career, but we just don't see anybody do that very often. Like, it's just crazy to even imagine a quarterback doing that type of thing. But I would say over the last couple of weeks now, it feels like people have gone back towards Mahomes with the MVP conversation. I was always with him, you know, throughout the season, even when Drew Brees was getting those accolades. But where do you stand on the MVP conversation right now?
You know, I was pretty much in the Drew Brees camp for a while. I just think that Drew Brees had a more complete game this year. You know, we look at touchdown passes, obviously, as, you know, kind of a big determinant for MVP. And, yeah, that's a great stat and whatnot. I just thought Brees had played the position better this season. But I will say Brees has kind of fallen off, and Mahomes has kept playing good. So, I think Mahomes can probably lock it up this week. If he plays really well tomorrow, I think he'll get enough votes.
Now, Jeff, your brother Mitchell, of course, is Patrick Mahomes' right tackle in Kansas City. If Mahomes wins the MVP, does he get the offensive line something for their efforts?
I would assume so. I mean, I don't know what that would be, but I have to think that it'll be something pretty nice. Now, Mahomes is obviously still on a rookie contract, so you know, that obviously might play in a role in what he'd get him, but I definitely think there's a possibility that they'll get a nice gift. I do not think my brother blocks for him because he thinks he's getting a nice gift. It's always a brother.
What was the best thing that you ever got from one of your teammates?
I got a Breitling watch.
Nice.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet, piece.
I'm not a watch guy. I'm not a jewelry guy, Jack. I don't wear my wedding ring. I'm just not a jewelry guy, a watch guy. I need to go find that watch.
Yeah, I think that's a nice piece. You might want to find out where that is right now, and hopefully.
No, it's in the house.
Yeah,
it's just I gotta find it like somewhere in the house. It's somewhere in the house.
Well, I think everybody, you know, sometimes people have really nice pieces, whether it's a jewelry, you know, it's a watch or a necklace or whatever. Sometimes it's just too nice that you're afraid to wear it and damage it or lose it or something. So, you know, sometimes it's just nice to have that keepsake in a box and stare at it in a mantle or something and have a story behind it. But like you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes still on that rookie contract, so maybe he's not going to be able to afford something just yet for his O-lineman, but they have done such a great job for him. Speaking about quarterbacks getting an opportunity right now, Lamar Jackson going to get another start for the Baltimore Ravens this week. And as you mentioned on Twitter, and I think a lot of people have the same sentiment as you, myself included, that there might be some fool's gold to this. You know, the teams that he has played so far in these starts, he's taken on these teams that can't stop the run. And while he's one of the most electric runners that we see in the National Football League right now, at some point he's going to have to make some passes. And the passes that we've seen so far right now have been pretty hit or miss. What have you made of his game thus far?
That's what it is. Look, and I said this on Twitter, I know I'm right about it. I mean, they've played now, you add Tampa this weekend, they've played the five worst run defenses in the NFL, according to Football Outsiders, right? And so you design an offense that's built to run the football and play defense, and this is what they get, and it's good for them. But, you know, you watch that game on Sunday, and I watched it play the Chiefs. You know, Lamar has a great throw, then a bad throw, a bad throw, then an average throw, then a good throw. Like, it's two up and down. I mean, even on one of the touchdown passes, he threw the ball way behind the tight end. He's supposed to lead him kind of to the corner, and he threw it behind him. So Lamar's been a great story, but it's not sustainable. And, look, I know they named him the star this week with Flacco being healthy. I mean, it's great and all, but I just don't see this being a sustainable success throughout the rest of the season. It's not going to win him any playoff games.
Well, even with the loss to Kansas City in mind, Jeff, Baltimore has found themselves back in the AFC North race thanks to Pittsburgh losing three in a row. So now you wrote about it on SB Nation, of course. What did you find most frustrating of the many aspects of Pittsburgh's loss in Oakland on Sunday, and how do you handicap that Pittsburgh-Baltimore race the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, wow. I mean, I guess you assume that knowing they had to win that game, they would go ahead and do that. But, man, what a wreck. You know, it's interesting with what they play very well under chaos. It's kind of been like what they're good at, right? Like every time we think, oh man, there's too much chaos in their organization, they just play well, right? And it's like shocking. You're like, how's this happening? It feels like they're finally not playing well when that happens, right? And I didn't understand the Big Ben situation where he, you know, didn't come back right away. I guess they said they couldn't get the X-ray in time. You know, I didn't really like what Tomlin said about that situation. It was like, you know, the flow of the game was awful. You punted like four times in a row with the backup quarterback in. So I still think, though, the Steelers are a better football team than the Ravens. The Ravens have to go to San Diego still. I know Pittsburgh plays New England this weekend, but I probably think Pittsburgh still wins the division.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh's defense has still been, you know, pretty strong throughout the year. Their offense, yeah, for sure. And their offense, you know, we expect Ben Roethlisberger to play this week despite that rib injury, and he's still got a ton of tools around him despite the fact that James Conner may not be back this week either. And when you look at their receiving core, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster has seemingly taken another step this year, Jeff, and you look at the last six games, Antonio Brown and Smith-Schuster both have 62 targets, but the results for Smith-Schuster have been better here. Is there a potential changing of the guard here, or do you think it's just a small sample and, you know, Antonio Brown is still the lead dog and maybe it's just because he's getting the most attention that has opened things up for Juju at this point?
Well, I think he definitely gets the most attention. I mean, that's not even debatable. So I don't think they're moving away from Antonio Brown. They just paid him, right? So they're not moving away from him, but have a second option is a fabulous thing. And I think they're just giving Schuster those roles. And remember too, right? He had like a 90-yard touchdown the other day. So that obviously makes his stats look a little bit better, things like that. Antonio Brown's still the guy, but they're doing what they're supposed to do. If he's not open, you find another option.
Just jumping conferences to the NFC here, Jeff, even if we include the Cowboys and Seahawks as good teams in the NFC, and I know they have their question marks too, it really looks like it's five good teams and there's six playoff spots. How do you handicap that last spot? Minnesota's, of course, struggled of late and looked awful on Monday night. Carolina's been struggling a lot lately. Philly is amazingly still in the mix, but now it looks like we're going back to Nick Foles on Sunday. Does anybody jump out to you in that conference? And then, of course, Washington's still in the mix, too.
Well, the Panthers have the Saints twice in the last 30 of the season. And week 17, the Saints might not have much to play for, so that obviously could change that dynamic there. I got to think in that situation, you know, if you're saying Seattle's the 5 seed, you probably go with the Vikings, considering they do have a lot of talent. The Panthers have lost 5 in a row. And I mentioned their schedule. God, I don't like any of this. but I would say the Vikings. Maybe the OC change fires them up a little bit. But I don't love any team that's going to be the 16 in that conference.
Jeff Schwartz, former NFL O-lineman and also of SB Nation and Sirius XM, joining us here on Good Show. It's Rob Wong, Travis McKenzie in for J.D. Bunkus and Ben Ennis today. So Jared Goff, as we saw, had a lot of trouble, and the Rams offense had a lot of trouble taking on the Bears. Vic Fangio's done such a great job getting Khalil Mack. Clearly helps when, you know, you're trying to put up a strong defensive effort against one of the top teams in the NFL in the Rams. But what do you make of, you know, Jared Goff's performance in cold weather? It seems like that's starting to become a narrative right now. I mean, he's a guy from California. You're a guy that grew up in California. You played in some cold weather climates. Do you think that is a legit thing when it comes to Jared Goff and how he's performed in these types of games?
I think so. I mean, you guys live in a cold climate, right? I mean, at some point you kind of get used to it a little bit. I mean, as much as you can, right? And Jared Goff is from Northern California. He went to Cal Berkeley, plays in Los Angeles. And it's not just the cold weather in the game itself. It's kind of the entire process. So, you know, you land in Chicago and it's cold walking to the bus. And then it's cold going in the hotel. And it's kind of cold in your room. And you go out to dinner, it's a little bit cold. And night in the hotel, it's a little cold. Then you get off, you know, you sleep, and you get up in the morning, and it's a little chilly. And you look outside, you're like, oh, it looks cold outside. And then you you walk from the hotel to the bus, and it's cold. And then you get in the field, like just all the instances of being cold and cold, just reminded how cold it is. That kind of mentally adds up. It doesn't really, it's not a conscious decision really, but then you warm up and it's cold. So I definitely think there is some benefit to being used to playing in that weather. We've seen it, you know, in the history of the NFL, even like a Peyton Manning, right? Wasn't very good early in his career, maybe never until he got to Denver in cold weather, because it's hard to do.
Well, Jeff, we've heard so much about the Chiefs, Saints, and Rams, of course, this season, and how they're considered the top three teams in the league. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Chargers are one game behind all of them, and they've seemingly flown under the radar as much as you can when they're that good in the NFL. We got the big Thursday nighter tomorrow. Chargers are still in the divisional race. They'll even it up with Kansas City with a win. What's sort of stood out to you about the Chargers this year? Is it just Phillip Rivers is having a great season?
Yes, and they're able to run the football, but you know their two top guys are hurt right now, and they're able to you know I just think Phillip Rivers is good, man, and they have a lot of talent around him. And defensively, they can rush the passer. Derwin James has been an outstanding pickup for them, but they've lost 9 in a row to the Chiefs, and it's not been pretty in Arrowhead. So they got to find a way to kind of get over this hump. And we know Thursday night football games are really tough on the road team. I think 10 of 12 this year have been won by the home team. So it's going to be tough for them. They have the people and talent to do it. And remember, the Chiefs are out. Obviously, Hunt is out. He's like released. And Spencer Ware is hurting. And Tyreek Hill is a little hurt. And Sammy Watkins is probably not going to play. And Eric Berry might not play. Now he hasn't played all season. So, you know, there's a lot of injury situation happening with the Chiefs right now. So, we'll see how it goes. They have to really pressure Pat Mahomes if you're the Chargers. You have to bring pressure.
Yeah, it should be a fun game tomorrow between those two teams, of course. One more before we let you go, Jeff. We saw Amari Cooper break out for the Dallas Cowboys last week, and he's been sensational, really, since showing up there. It took a lot of heat to the Dallas Cowboys for what they gave up to get Amari Cooper, who had been underperforming in Oakland. And you just look at what he has done so far, and I know last week it was against a Philadelphia Eagles team whose secondary is not very good right now. They are banged up, missing a lot of first-string players. But what do you think has been the difference? Why has he had so much success so far in Dallas compared to his last few days in Oakland?
Well, I think you saw a little dysfunction in Oakland. Now he's playing at a place that throws him the ball, throws the ball on time to him, and they run routes that he's good at running. They kind of have geared everything toward him. It's been great. I was wrong. I didn't think he was worth a first-round pick, and I think he clearly is.
Yeah, he's been great. We'll see what the Cowboys have the rest of the way. They are looking pretty good right now, sitting in first place in that NFC East division. Jeff, appreciate the time today, man. Thanks for doing this.
All right, take care, guys.